I'm from Nokia. I'm probably going to talk about a lot of things today that I may make available online, or I may sort of put all the links and bits and pieces together. Usually when I talk about that, I'll probably just tweet it and say where it's available. So it's just my first name, last name on Twitter if you want to follow me and want to know when there's any updates, or if there's any updates, or if there are no updates, you can heckle me, and so it makes me put them up there so you stop heckling me. So I work at Nokia within the developer experience team. Our job is to ensure that Windows Phone developers are successful, and that includes helping you with loan devices, helping you with merchandising on store. How many people were at the Windows Phone kickoff this morning? A couple of hands. Okay, so yeah, we help you merchandise in store. So if you build an app, we can even help you promote it. You just need to let us know. We help you, you know, get free tokens to the store. There's a lot of things that our team does, but you've got to connect with us. Best way to get in contact with me is probably through Twitter, because my work emails fill up with internal emails and things like that. Okay, so, clicker. Cameras. So I think maybe a lot of you heard, or you didn't know, the Lumia 1020 ranging has been announced for Australia, so it's coming to Australia. I think the pricing and the dates for the various carriers is going to be announced. Recommended retail, I think, is $899, but obviously there'll be deals done with the carriers. So, you know, watch that space. Okay, mobile imaging. So what was photography these days is generally referred to as is imaging. And over the years, so this is smartphone pixel count growth over time. In 2003, on the right, you had a 0.3 megapixels, and then it slowly grew over time. So the 41 megapixels that you have in the 1020. So 0.3, which was the first phone camera, not the first digital camera, but the first phone camera. And so that's how big that would be to the whole screen. If you imagine the whole screen was 41 megapixels, 0.3 megapixels was that big. And a lot of people often talk to me about, well, I don't need that many pixels. I don't need to print a billboard. And I think the conversation needs to be, there are other experiences that you can have with those pixels. So the example is, this is an image that's been reduced to 0.3 megapixels. And you look at it and you think, that's actually not too bad for 0.3 megapixels. But that's the same photo, and you probably hardly saw it. That's the same photo if you took it with a 41 megapixel camera. The thing is that I actually took that photo, and I wasn't that close to the lines. I was actually that close to the lines, because that's actually the 41 megapixel image that I took, reduced to the screen resolution. If that was a 0.3 megapixel photo, then the actual original photo would have looked something like this. And so you start to understand that actually having more pixels allows you to do things that you wouldn't have done otherwise. People often say, well, digital zoom, I can crop my own photos. It's a bit different to that, because I can zoom in and I can look at the photo and take that photo. And if you saw during the keynote where I did a re-zoom on a photo, and I'll just do it again quickly for those that might have missed it. But now, you know, you're able to take photos that look like this. Because you have 41 megapixels, you can get a 9 megapixel image that looks like this. So over the years, photography has evolved because of mobile. So we started off people with low resolution taking photos of their kids or moments when they were traveling. But now, as everyone's getting smartphones with cameras, and now as everyone's able to share those experiences immediately because of social networking, we started taking photos of activities and fun and experiences, sharing that experience immediately with our friends. I'm having fun down the beach. Come on down to the beach. Things like that. But not only that, people started to even get artistic with their cameras as well, because the camera quality is increasing. We also started taking photos of the mundane. So, you know, how many people have taken photos and share photos of just cups of coffee? You would never have done this with film, and people weren't doing this when you had to take the photo, pull it off your phone, attach it to an email and send it to a heap of friends. People would have opened their email and gone, what the hell, why are you sending me a photo of a coffee? But these days, people are taking photos of the mundane because it's just so accessible, and sharing those photos is just so easy. But now with really high quality cameras in phones, such as in the 1020, people are now sort of capturing everything about a moment, and they can capture all that detail. So you're going to start seeing a lot more photos where people are taking artistic photos, they're taking night photos and capturing, you know, capturing everything in the environment at that point in time, capturing just an amazing cityscape, or down to more of a macro level where you can actually see all the seeds and all the feathers on the bird and sort of really capturing what this person is seeing and experiencing. And all these photos have been taken with the 1020. I think on this one you can actually zoom in and almost see a whole car. It's ridiculous. So let me just, I'll cut across to that one. I'll just open that. And number two. So here I've got the 1020 Pro camera. Now, in this, inevitably, some of you may have your photo taken. So if you don't want your photo taken, just close your eyes. And so this is the 1020. Now, I've actually got it set up so that it's quite blurry because I've actually got it set up so that it's actually at macro level. So if I just put it on auto, and what I'll do is just take a photo of the room, and you'll see that if I go to that photo, I now have the ability to zoom in, and I was moving a little bit. Sorry, I don't mean to zoom on people's faces, but unfortunately, that's the only interesting thing in the crowd. Otherwise, I was zooming in on a chair. But what you can see is, you know, by zooming in, I've got a photo here, and that's blurry not because of the camera, but because I'm moving around. Now that I'm able to do that, I probably am going to now start doing things like looking in photos for things to actually make the photo that I want. And I find that I do that as well. I take a photo of friends in the city, and then I find myself looking in all the building windows and going, oh, that guy's got a folder on his desk. I wonder what he's doing with that. You know, it seems a bit weird, but I've been doing it, so maybe that's just me. And the other thing I wanted to show you, and I've gone and changed all the icons on here, I'll go through and just look at photos. So there's some photos on here, and there's a photo up here of the football that I showed, which is one of the, you know, and this isn't a professionally taken photo. This is just taken by someone at the footy in the Nokia team. And you'll see that the zoom on that is just ridiculous. But they took that photo, and they captured that photo, and then at a later date, they changed it to that photo. Because that photo is a lot better. This could just be someone running around a field by themselves. Oh, wow, this is actually a football match. And then you can zoom out and see what else is happening in that photo. And I mean, look at the detail that you can see, people in the crowd that you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. So imaging is changing. And so there's going to be a lot more imaging apps coming up because simply there's more that you can do with imaging. So cut across to seven. Yes. So with this, you know, we need to understand, well, what does that mean for Windows Phone? So on Windows Phone, it's about everything's at your fingertips. You know, you have all these different ways to use all the different things on your phone. You've got social media at your fingertips with live tiles. You've got people and hubs of people available, so you've got that data. You've got access to your email and how many emails you've got and what your latest email is on a live tile. You've got things on your lock screen. And you can launch the camera from the camera button. So it's all about this ease of access. So today I'm going to talk about building a camera. I'm going to show you how to build a camera from scratch. I'm going to go through some really advanced camera stuff using one of the examples that's available because it can get quite complex. The other thing I'm also going to do is show you how to make a camera lens for Windows Phone, which is very easy once you've actually built a camera. So the first thing we're going to do is let's just go and build a camera. So cut back. So I'll get rid of that. So here we are, and this is a project I was working on before. But what I'm going to do, and I'll bump up the font size. Hang on. Text editor. There we go. Thanks, guys. I'll pump it up to 16, and did I just change the font? Hang on. I don't want to do Comic Sans demos. No, I didn't. Cool. There we go. So this is an app I built previously, but I'm not going to go through this app because I want to build one from scratch and sort of take you through just how easy it is to start building a camera. So the first thing you want to do is create the project. And the best project to start off with is just a Windows Phone app, just the most basic app. And we'll call this Tech Ed Phone App. Yeah, that'll do. And you want to pick Windows Phone 8. You can do Windows Phone 7 camera apps, but you can only do the advanced stuff with Windows Phone 8. So here we have our phone app with the XAML, and it's not very exciting at the moment because it doesn't really do anything. But the first thing we're going to do is, with all camera apps, you have a viewfinder. You've got that area that you can see the photo that you're going to take. So the first thing we're going to do is just change the XAML a little bit. And what I have over here is just some snippets so I can just pull them in to make life easier. And it's quite simple. And it's literally a grid. We're going to call it viewfinder. And the background, we're going to make a video brush. And we're going to call that the viewfinder video brush. And what we'll end up doing is putting the camera on that background of that app, and we'll be able to see that. The other thing that we want to do, which is important, is the orientation of the app needs to be landscape. So we'll make it landscape left, and we also want to make it so the app's only in landscape. Now you can do portrait camera apps, but for this one we'll just do landscape to save having to resize all the images to the different orientations. So the next thing we're going to do, if I cut across to the code behind, is we need to set up the camera. Now you have a few different camera options, but the main one that we're going to use for this bit of the walkthrough is the photo camera. So what we want to do is we create the camera. So we'll have access to it from the entire main page. So what we can do is we can go photo camera, camera. So we've got access to it all the time. And that's going to be in the Microsoft devices namespace. And what we want to do here is go camera equals new photo camera. And you've got two options here. You can just use a default constructor, or you can pass in the camera type. Now the default camera type is primary. Primary on this device is going to be this lens. The other camera type you have is front-facing. So there's a front-facing one there. Now, it's important to note that when you actually are creating a camera, not all Windows Phone devices have a front-facing camera. The Lumia 520 doesn't, for example. But what you can do, you can actually, photo camera dot, is camera type supported, and actually check whether that's actually supported or not. So when you're actually building your apps, and they could be on any device, you need to check that it's there. There's similar things that you can do with Flash to make sure that Flash is available, because Flash is also not available on the 520, and there's going to be other devices that may or may not have that. But let's not worry about that too much for this, because we know what device we're actually running on. So we can do the default constructor, or we can do primary. So that creates our camera. And then the next thing that we want to do is you want to go initialize, when that camera is initialized, we want to actually have something that once it's initialized, that's when we want to do things like start hooking in the camera buttons so that they actually will take the photos and things like that, because obviously if the camera's not initialized and you hit the button, then it's going to fall over. So within here, this is when we start doing things like hooking up all the other events. So we can hook up all the other events such as, let's go up here, the main one that we actually care about is capture image available. So that's going to be the event when you press the button and you tell it to go capture a photo that the image is available. But we're not going to worry about that right now because we'll get to that. So what we're going to do here as well is we've got that video brush. We want to set the source to our camera. And so what this does is for that video brush, the source of that video brush is going to actually be this camera object. Now, before we can just run up this demo, and I'll do this first so that I don't accidentally run that at any point in time. The other thing that you need to do and need to be aware of is you need to update the manifest. And the reason for this is you need to say that you're actually going to use the camera. Otherwise, you'll get like a permission denied error. Now, the camera is here. You just check that. It's pretty straightforward. And the other thing you're probably going to want to check is the Media Lib photos while you're here, because if you're going to save those photos, you're going to want to save them to the media library, to the photo roll. So I'll go back across here. And so I'm just going to run up that on my phone. And I'm trying to do something tricky here, because I'm going to try and capture it on this whilst displaying it on this. Whoops. It's a deployment error. The number of developer applications on this phone. Oh, this is me testing my session. 1 second. I can get rid of that one. Done. So I'll just run that on the device. It should run up. And so I can show you. This is going to get really confusing, I already know. And for some reason that's not coming up on the device. This is great. Let me just kill that quickly. I know why. My apologies. I had another camera app open. So let's go back. We should be able to kill it and start again. Okay, this didn't even start on the device. 1 second. And it's still blank. Hang on. I'm going to have another look at this. So one thing to note, and I think this is what I'm running into, is if you have another camera app running on the phone that doesn't dispose of the camera properly, it can actually mean that your app never gets access to the camera. Let me just quickly have another look here, because this is going to be annoying if that's the case. Go across here. Okay, we can do it there. We'll do this. So possibly the issue I've got here is I just capture that, copy that snippet across to there. I don't think that's going to make a difference, but maybe it is. And the camera on the phone is still not working. That's my next option. I'll keep talking through some of the code, because the code's right. It's just that the phone's deciding that the camera's not going to work. So what you would have seen, if all going to plan, is we just would have seen the video on the screen in the grid. The issue there is, though, is as you rotate the viewfinder, when you go upside down, because it's a Windows Phone app, it'll actually start to flip the image. So when you go up the right way, it looks okay, and then when you go upside down on the phone, everything then all of a sudden flips upside down. So what I'm going to do is, and this has just come back, so I'm going to see if it works. If it doesn't, I might default to this phone. Oh, save to my Dropbox? No. Okay. Thank you, Visual Studio. Here we go. Hang on, don't ask again. And now go. And we'll see if this starts working. Okay, we'll go again. Please work. Okay, I'm in demo hell at the moment. Okay, we'll look at that in a second. Hang on. I know why. I've just figured it out. With the default template, you have grid rows, and this is in the top grid row, which would mean that it's not visible. And because it's not visible, one would imagine, huzzah. Okay. So, I was blaming the phone and it was me all along. That's okay. So here we go. So you'll see here, everything's, I've got issues with this phone focusing on that phone. I'll move to the ProCam, and this is one of the cool things about the ProCam, is that I can change the focal distance to really short and then it stops trying to focus. So you can see there that there you all are. Hi everybody. And as we rotate, it looks fine. But then when I go and stand on my head and turn upside down, notice how it's upside down? So you would think that everything would work fine, but what happens is as you turn around, it then decides to flip. So the next thing we need to do for the viewfinder is actually handle that flip. So I'll go back here, and I've got a code snippet to handle the rotation just simply, whoops, camera rotation, because it's actually sort of a bit confusing and you don't really need to understand the maths behind it. So what happens here if the camera is upside down, if it's using the front-facing camera, it's the opposite. The opposite will start happening because it's the other side of the phone. If it's landscape right, it makes sure that the transform is landscape right rotation, which is the 180 degrees. If it's landscape left, then it's fine. So as you're turning the phone upside down, it makes sure that it's in the right orientation. So if we just quickly run that up, we should see. It's always the right way around. Okay, hang on. We hit a breakpoint. For some reason it went. There we go. So here, you can see as we rotate and we come all the way over, it's the right way around. And you never see the flip. It's not like you get one frame of the wrong orientation. It's actually when it actually flips, the next frame that it renders happens to be the right way around. Now, a lot of people have issues because what happens is, and these are the ways that you can handle when you go to portrait, because when you go to portrait, all of a sudden you've got a very tall and very thin image. And then obviously you want to make sure you squash that down and make sure that it's still 16:9 so that you get that nice image in the middle. Otherwise, everyone will look like they're 7 foot tall and you know, weigh a kilo. So the next thing that I'm going to go through is look at the camera buttons. So we now have a camera that we can move around, but we want to be able to take photos on it. So I'm going to scroll up here, and when it's initialized, because we'll do it when it's initialized, because otherwise the camera's not ready to use the buttons, what you can do is go camera buttons dot, and this is really easy, shutter key half pressed and create that event. And what we're going to do there is do something which is pretty easy to do, and that is focus. So if you half press the camera button, it'll focus on the center. You can, if you wanted to do tap events on screen, do things like focus on point. Now focus on point takes an X and Y value of where it is in the image that you want to focus on. But if you wanted to do tap, or you for some reason you always wanted to tap on the top left corner, it makes it really easy to do that. But for this demo, we'll just do a normal focus. And then the other thing that you want to do is capture the full press. So camera buttons dot pressed. You can do it on release if you want. If you want people to hold down maybe to focus and then release to take the photo, maybe half press does something else. Maybe it cycles through something. You can do whatever you want. So, and here is where we want to go, camera.captureImage. So if I run that up, screen's locked. Run that up on the device. And so you'll see how there's that delay for when the camera starts, and that's the difference in the initialization of when your app's starting and the camera starting. Oh, hang on. That's a terrible demo. You can't see anything. So here you've got the camera, and what we're going to do, now this is going to be really tricky, is because it's upside down, I can do it. I will try and get it to, and then you'll see how the light's coming on. That's because I'm doing a half press, and it's got the focus light on. You can turn that on off through the camera controls. And if I go all the way down, the flash went off, and it captured a camera. The problem is the photo went nowhere, because there's no event to actually go and then deal with the actual image that I captured with the camera. So the next thing you need to do is handle saving that image. So what I'm going to do is when I go and capture the image, there are multiple events that actually happen. You get a thumbnail available, so it actually will create a thumbnail for you. You get the image available, and you get a couple of other events. The reason you get all those events, even though the one you're probably most interested is getting the final image, is so you can give feedback to the user. So if you wanted to give them some sort of feedback to the user that, yes, it's happened, so you don't have to keep holding the camera there. You may also do things like show them a thumbnail before you actually get the full image. The reason you also get a thumbnail is because you might want to store that for your own purposes. You don't need to have high memory usage to go and create your own thumbnail. And the reason you get access to those photos and they don't save straight to the camera roll is obviously you might want to do some processing on them, and you might never want them to go to the camera roll. You might want to store them in the app or maybe push them up online. You know, if it's an app like Facebook, you're going to want to push online. So what I'm going to do here is grab that image. When I grab that image, do this. And then the next thing I'm going to do, when it starts up, one of the things that you want is to save the image, you need access to the media library. So I'm just going to go grab the snippet so I don't, but it's really straightforward. I'll replace all of that. So the media library, remember we went and tapped on that, we added that capability early on. That gives us access to the media library, which means we can do things like save things to the media library. And I'm just going to give it a file name, something like that. Let's call it test. Now, if you save the images to the camera roll with the same name, it won't override them. It'll actually change the names. I've never been able to override an image, but today is always a good day to try that for the first time. So here we have the camera. Oh, hang on. The debugger, have we done something that we shouldn't have done? Let's start again. Okay. And actually, that might have been because I haven't actually disposed of the camera the previous time. So here we have, sorry, too many things, not enough hands. Okay, so here we have the camera app, and I'm about to take a photo, and that took a photo. And what we'd assume when I go to the camera roll, drum roll, please. When I go to the camera roll, that image is there in the camera roll, and it's actually upside down. Because I was actually had the phone upside down when I was taking it. So it's not a bug in the app, that's just the fact that I was using the button there. So there you all are. Damn it. But as you can see, so all of a sudden I've taken a photo, I've put it in the camera roll. So I've gone from, in even with all the problems that we've had, all that I've had, you know, in probably about 15 minutes, we've gone and built an app that can take a photo, that can focus. You've got access to things like the flash if you want to start configuring that, and it's saving it to your camera roll. So I'm just going to go through some slides and go back through some of the stuff that we did, which is seven. So the first thing we did, and this is a big gotcha. People will sit there looking at their code and wondering why it's crashing and wondering why their app's crashing. Make sure you add the capability to use the camera and make sure you add the capability to save the photo. The next thing that you want to make sure that you have is access to the front camera and the rear camera, but there, I actually had them already ticked. The other thing you want to do is create the canvas and make sure you delete the grid at the top of the default page. And it's very basic. You can use a grid, you can use anything that supports a video brush. So, you know, you can, once you put it on that, it doesn't have to be full screen. In my example, I had it full screen, but yours doesn't have to be full screen. Then you want to create it. These are some of the other options that you have, as I was talking about. And then you want to set that to the source, the source of the video brush. The next thing you want to do is cater for the button presses. So it's very straightforward. And then the next thing you want to do to focus, it's easy. I mean, I remember when I think when I was first writing a camera app, I just went, I wonder if camera buttons is a class. Oh, it is. Oh, it's got shutter half press. Oh, okay, that works. And then I went, I wonder if I can focus. Oh, yeah, I can. And it just works. And I went, I wanted to capture image. And then I went to my photo library and was wondering what was wrong. So here, you can do things like have a file counter. You might want to keep reference to the file name. And there's a few reasons you might want to do that. You may actually save that image in isolated storage. Again, the reasons you might want to do that is you don't want it available externally. Or maybe the external file is the one that you've edited, but the internal file is the original. So people can always go back to the original. If they're applying filters, they might want to go back to the original. Let's keep moving. So there's two capture classes. There's the photo camera and there's a photo capture device. We just looked at the photo camera. The advantages of the photo camera, it's really good for building basic camera applications, but there's no access to the preview buffer. It's incredibly easy to implement, as we've just seen. Give me an image from the camera in the way that I want it to be taken, and it supports Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8. Advanced Capture uses the photo capture device. It's generally for advanced camera applications. You get access to the preview buffer, so if you want to apply filters before you actually see it, and you can see real-time filters, and we'll look at an example of that in a second, it's harder to implement. There's a lot more code involved. You're working with streams. You're working with buffered streams, so you need to make sure that you're comfortable working with streams. But there's plenty of examples to get you up and running. So if you don't understand what's happening, you can go and look at some of the examples. But it only supports Windows Phone 8. So if you're trying to support Windows Phone 7 devices, you won't be able to use the photo capture device. So I was going to build an advanced camera, but what I might do is go through some of the other features and then come back and look at the advanced camera at the end. So I'll skip through that. I'm going to talk about lenses. So Windows Phone 8 introduced this concept of lenses. And I remember someone saying to me, oh, that's going to be really cool. I wonder what we need to do that. And so when you think about Windows Phone and that whole concept of applications at your fingertips, live tiles, secondary tiles, you can launch an app through NFC, you can launch an app through QR, you can do app-to-app launching, one app can launch another app, you can launch through the share task, file extensions, and edit. And the big problem was you couldn't launch an experience from the camera, you had to exit the camera and go into your app and then start the camera within that app. So for Windows Phone 8, the concept of lenses allowed you to, for example, go back to number two, allowed you, for example, and I don't know if there's any lenses actually installed on this. Yes, there are. So from the camera, I can then look at the other cameras. So from the standard camera, I can use the old version of the camera from the Pro camera. I might want to use Snokki Smart Cam. I might want to take a Cinemagraph. I might want to use Bing Vision. So if I actually go like this, it'll just launch Bing Vision. But it launches it at the right experience to be launching it from the camera. I've never launched it before, so it's going to be an intro. So, and that's because you may launch, for example, if you think of an app like like Hipstamatic, you may want to launch into a camera because you're in the camera, but when you launch it normally, you might not actually go through your friends' photos and things like that. So they're different experiences. So what I'm going to do is show you how to make your camera app a lens. So it's quite straightforward. So some of the changes that you need to make to the manifest actually aren't available through the UI. You need to go through and put them in manually. Now the manifest UI just updates this this XML file. And you'll notice if we go up, you can see here that we have the camera and the photo as these two capabilities that we added before when we check those checkboxes. But some of the things aren't here, and that is extensions. Now, extensions are a way for your application to reach out into the rest of the phone. So if you want notifications to appear on the lock screen, then you need to use extensions. And extensions are, if your app turns up somewhere else on the phone, except the app, that's extending your app, that's an extension. So extensions go here, and you don't need to remember what I'm about to put on the board. You can find it all on MSDN or online. All the examples will have it in it anyway. And what you need to do is what I've done, and that is, do I have the extension there? Yeah. And that is, you put in a piece of XML which is exactly that. You don't need to remember that ID. And that means that now your application has made itself available to the phone as a lens. So it's pretty straightforward. And then all of a sudden, if I launch the application, launch the camera on here, start this up here, do a dance. Okay. So what you can see here is I've launched the application, right? But I don't care about the app anymore. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just kill it here and restart it because I need to launch another camera. And when you're debugging, the app doesn't die. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch the standard camera there. And then when I go here, oh, sorry, thanks. So here, and when I tap down here, we should see, and it's a bit hard to see with this phone because of the focus distance not being short enough. And there, where that blank square is our TechEd phone app. You can almost read it there. So it's turned up there, and when I tap on it, it launches into our TechEd phone app. Now, that launched into the camera because the default page is the camera. But that's how easy it is to implement a lens, to get in that list of apps there. The thing that you need to be aware of is what's actually happening when you implement your app as a lens. So when your app launches, it actually will be launching with something interesting on the URL. So what I'm going to do is just start up the app. And I think if I go here and have a look at the URI, oh no, I'll continue, my mistake. So we've just launched the app the normal way. But then if I exit here, go to the camera, that's good. Hang on, go to the camera. And it's not going to launch the camera, so it's a bit hard to demo. I'll leave it there. But what happens is the application launches with a URL which has the fact that it's actually been launched from the lens. So in the URL, it actually has a phrase which lets you know it's been launched from the lens. And so based on that, using a URI mapper, you can decide what camera experience you're going to have. Are you going to show a folder of apps? Well, actually, no, they come from the camera. I'm going to actually show you the camera experience. So the whole thing about lenses is I'm in the camera. So from the camera, I want to select, no, I want to use a different camera experience. So then it actually goes and launches your app. But when it launches your app, it should be in the camera experience. We just built a camera app. But if you built a photo sharing app, you probably don't always launch into the camera experience. And then obviously when they've taken that photo, they can save it. So we've just gone through this. And this is an example of the URI mapping. So viewfinder launch means that you've been launched in viewfinder mode. You use a URI mapper, and we're going to actually look at another URI mapper later. So I don't want to keep creating them in this session because I don't want to run out of time. But when it gets passed in, this is actually saying, hey, when it launches, just launch the main page anyway. But maybe your main page of your application isn't your viewfinder. Maybe it's called viewfinder page. So you can actually choose the experience you want when they launch directly from a lens. You can register the URI mapper. So you create a class that can handle it. You register it in your application. The thing that I often talk to people about, and I'll just go back there, the reason this is registered at the application level is because it's when the application is launched, it needs to know where to direct you. You don't register it at some other level. It's when the application launches, it needs to catch the URI there. Because if it's when a page is already launched, well, that page is a URI and it's already being caught. So the thing to think about is, what lens are you? A lot of people, when they say, I want to build an imaging app or a camera app, they go straight to lenses, they go straight to advanced cameras, and they actually haven't really thought about the whole process too much. So you can do pre-photo assistance. So while someone's taking a photo, you might do things like have the horizon so they can get it horizontally aligned. You might be giving them access to different camera settings or default camera settings, so when they take photos, it's easier. You might be giving them a filter preview, or you might be doing a panorama. The first two only need to use photo camera. The last two would need to use photo capture device. Because for the first ones, you can overlay something on top of the image. For camera settings, you can give them options to select different settings. But if you want to do a filter preview, you need access to the streams so that you can decode them in real time and apply filters. And if you want to do a panorama with photo assistance, then you're probably going to be using a photo camera. You probably could find ways to do it with the photo camera, but you're probably using your photo capture device. Post-photo processing. So if you're only processing photos after they've been taken, you don't need to use photo capture device. You could actually use just the normal camera, which would save the photo, and then you've got access to the final image, and then you can process it after the fact. Some of the top image filtering apps, they're not doing preview filters. You take your photo and then you pick your filter. They can just use photo camera. You might be doing image analysis. So an example of this might be doing a text recognition, taking photos of license plates. You know, if you're the police and you want to take photos of license plates, you don't need to pre-process that. You're only post-processing that. And sharing. Maybe you're just taking a photo and you want to share it with somebody. It's sharing it online or something like that. So let's talk about rich media edit. Now, rich media edit is quite interesting. So if I go to the photo that we took before, a few of you have probably seen in the past. How are we for time? Good. A few of you have probably seen in the past when you take a photo, and I'll cut across to, which device is this? This one. I don't have to do a thing. 7, 2. Okay. So when I cut across here, you'll see in the photos, the photo I can reopen in the Nokia ProCam. So that photo that I took at the football, you notice how it says captured by Nokia ProCam. Now that is actually what rich media edit. It means that when I'm looking at the image, I can tap that and I can reopen it in ProCam. Because before I was just in the photo gallery, I want to reopen that in ProCam. So by reopening it at ProCam, now I've actually passed the image from my photo gallery into ProCam, and then ProCam can decide what it wants to do with it. Now before, when I was talking about the file name not mattering, if you need to reopen an original copy of the file, which ProCam does, because it gives me access to that image, the file name does become important, because you need to be able to, when you get past that image from the photo gallery, go, okay, I'm going to go and get the original 41 megapixel image, or I'm going to get, I'm going to go and get the original image because you passed me the filtered image. I want to go and get the original non-touched image so then you can change the filter that was applied to it. So we're going to go and implement that. And again, it uses the URI mapper. So because this is not the app, and because the app is extended out into the photo gallery, we need to use extensions again. So I'm going to go through this, and there's a few things that we need to do. It's very similar to the way that a lens works. Whoops, didn't mean to do that. It's very similar to the way the lens works, and a lens works in a manner where it launches the application, but it actually doesn't pass in a file, but it launches it with a special command. Rich Media Edit works the same way. It's going to launch it, and we're going to use a URI mapper to decide what we're going to do. So here, what I've got here, I need to add another extension, but that extension, rather than remember it, as I said before, you don't... where are we? Did I put Rich Media Edit in here? Where did it go? Hang on. Damn it. It's okay. So the thing that you want to do, and I don't have the the thing that you just look up online, and I may have it in the previous project that I was mucking around with. Let me see if I do. I've lost it somehow. I might go to the slides and talk through it anyway. So if we go to the slides. So the Rich Media Edit, I'll talk it through, is when you see the media captions, you can open in your photo app, that would say the name of your app, or if you click on it, it would open in your app. Let's look at how we add it in. Now, I don't have that written down, and I'm not going to go and sort of type it in now because I'll probably get it wrong. So the first thing you want to do is you want to add the extension in the XAML. So again, you'll find this online. The best thing to do is just to look up the Photos Rich Media Edit or look up our Rich Media Edit extension Windows Phone 8. It's all on MSDN, and you'll find that all the extensions are next to each other on MSDN. The next thing you need to do is in that URI mapper, you want to make sure that it contains the word Rich Media Edit. Again, it gets passed in as a parameter. And it also needs to contain token. Now, token is a way for your app to be able to launch, and that token is a file token. You don't just get passed the path to the file, you get given a token. For security reasons, if you had access to the entire path of the phone, you'd be able to grab files from anywhere. So you get given this temporary access token, and then what you do is you can launch that page. But what you do, the next thing you do, when you launch your page. So here you can see we launched, instead of launching media page, main page, we actually replace in the URI Rich Media Page. That's just the name that we've given to the page that we want to launch. And then we return the map to URI because that's where we want to go. We want to go to Rich Media Page with all of the same parameters because we're reopening the image. So this is an example where you wouldn't be launching into the camera. And then the next thing you do is see how it's with the media library, you say, get picture from token, and then you pass in the query string value that was the token. That gets you that picture. So it's already registered, says to the media library, it registers with media library, here's a temporary token, that's how you get the image. And then when your app comes along and says, give me the image for that token, you get access to the token. And then the next thing you can do is you can display it on screen, you can do whatever you want. You now have access to that image. You now have that bitmap that you can do whatever you want with. So let's talk through the Nokia Imaging SDK. Now, the reason I didn't talk about the advanced cameras before, if you want to start adding filters with the Nokia Imaging SDK, you need to be using an advanced camera because you need to be using streams. So what I'm going to do is cut back here to Visual Studio, and I'm going to talk through one of the example apps and how it's working for the Nokia Imaging SDK. Now, these are all available online, and I'll show you sort of where they are available online. This app is also available for download from the Windows Phone Store. So even before building it, you can go and have a look at it and start playing around with it, even without having to build it. So like most apps, I'll just launch it onto the phone. Actually, it's going to complain I've got too many apps deployed. Possibly. So I'm going to launch it onto this phone. I've got to click on five things. And I've launched it onto the phone, and you can see it there. Oh, hang on. Okay, ProCam. Change the camera distance to no distance at all. Good. Oop, I just took a photo of my hand. Beautiful. And there we go. So, so what this does is it applies filters. So you can go through and you can see that it's applying different filters, but not only that, it's applying them in real time. So now we've got a black and white filter. There we've got some sort of sepia filter. This is like a two-tone filter. Some sort of reduced color filter. That's like a blue, chromey, Lomo filter. So I'm going to go through and talk through what's happening in the app to do all of that, because it's about passing all of those streams around, and it gets quite complex. It's probably way a bit too much to go and type up in this entire session. Now, the thing that you get access to with the photo camera device is actually you can capture photos at custom resolutions. Now, those resolutions, though, have to be available resolutions provided by the phone. So when the application starts up, what I'm going to do is go to the initialize. And you'll notice here, and I'll go and pump the font in this instance of Visual Studio 2. 16. No, you're not. You're lying to me. Okay, we'll open it again. Strange. I might just do it manually. Can people read that? Yeah. So what you can see here is all the initialization that's needed. So before we went, camera equals new camera. Now you need to go through and do a lot more initialization. So the first thing that's happening up the top of the page is we want to go and get all the available capture resolutions. And then the next thing, what we wanted to do is, this is sort of a link query, and all this is doing is trying to get the biggest resolution. And you want to make sure that it's got the right aspect ratio. The next thing you want to do is the encode with orientation is about the streams that you get through. You want to make sure that the streams, when they come from the camera, are encoded with an orientation already set for them. So if you're expecting to get landscape photos or you want to get landscape photos, those streams, when they come through, are going to be oriented based on how you want it. As you keep rotating the camera, that orientation is not going to change unless you want it to change or you ask it to change. The other thing that you want to do, we want to get the preview resolutions, the camera sensor location back versus primary. But obviously you have preview resolutions available as well. So when you see this camera looking around the room, that's not a 41 megapixel image that you see there. That's a preview image. And so therefore, if you want access to the preview buffer, then you need to find out what resolutions they are and work with the resolutions there. And then you want to set the preview resolution. So maybe I don't care about high res. I want it to be really fast. So what I do is I go in and I grab the resolution that's really low, or I might want to grab the resolution that's really high. So, and then here, this is just working with the media element that's on the page, which is where our preview is going to be. And you'll also notice that the preview is on a media element. It's not on a grid, it's on a media element, because it's actually playing video from a video stream. And then some of this is just sort of the demo updates for the text. So what it does when you go down is it creates this, a lot of the magic's not happening in this page. What it does is it creates a Nokia image SDK effect object, and that's actually just part of this project. So I'll go down and I'll show you what's happening in that. So the Imaging SDK class is just a way of wrapping up all the things like the capture device, the bitmap that keeps coming through, the buffers, because you're now working with streams, you need to work with buffers. And it's also a place where all those effects that were being applied were sitting. Now, the thing that's dealing with the, over here, the camera stream source data singleton, this is the class that's actually dealing with your actual buffers so that you don't have to you don't have to handle the stream source. So you'll notice that it extends the camera stream source. The stream source actually extends media stream source, and that's what it allows it to be shown on the media element. So it's streaming those bytes through to the media element, and the media element can say, well, that's going to give me the bytes. Now, the magic in here is all about grabbing the stream from the camera and then passing it through to the media stream source. But the other thing that's happening here is that when this gets created, it passes in a camera effect. And what you'll notice is, further down here, that the camera effect gets applied right down here. Now, it's a bit hard to sort of see just here, but that frames per second tick, every frame that it's running, every time it gets a frame, what it does is it goes and takes that and it passes it to the handler. And the handler is actually the thing that's doing, is actually your effect that's getting applied. And so and that comes from down here in the SDK effects. So what you're seeing here, get new frame and apply effects. So you notice that it passes in the buffer. So this is when the handler gets called. Eventually this method gets called. And it's passing in the buffer. And then what happens is, because you've already got that buffer, you don't really need to know too much about it. And what you can do is, you create, when you're applying filters in the SDK, you create what's known as a session. Now the reason why, like if you do the math to something like 90 trillion filter combinations, and the reason why is when you create a session, you actually then go and add all the filters in the order that you want to apply them, and then you just say, apply that to the image. So you'll notice here that our original LOMO, if I blow the code back up again, rather than making it tiny, our original LOMO was blue, so we'll do something like make it yellow. And the vignetting was low, so we'll make it high. And this is from the filter factory. Now, the filter factory is actually from the Nokia Imaging SDK. So this is where all the magic happens. You didn't need to know anything about how to apply the filter and how to do vignetting. You can just to say go nuts. So here we can say session.addFilter, make it high, make the LOMO style yellow. For the other one where we had the magic pen filter, let's do another one where we had the cartoon filter. We'll do one and I'll make it black and white. I'm trying to think of a good one. Magic pen. So here we can go session.addFilter, filter factory, dot, create, what's called blur for filter? And then we can say blur level, blur 4, very descriptive blur 4, and we're done. And so here you can sort of start doing all those options. Now, people have already built example applications where you can go and collaborate and pull in all different filters and show them all working. So if I run that up on the phone, you'll just see that it's that easy, and all of a sudden we'll have different filters on the phone. So I've done it again. Launch that camera. Launch it into absolutely no distance. And there we go. Oops. Room's upside down because, yeah, okay, now you're up the right way. So it's, notice that before we didn't have a lens that looked like that because we've got a really high vignetting and we've also got a camera that's now, not only yellow, but it's also got high vignetting. If we go to the next one, so that's not out of focus, that's the blurred one. So the blurred one's just incredibly blurred. And you'll notice that it's actually quite slow, and that's because it's choppy because doing that blur for, that high level blur, is actually taking some time. So you need to be careful, I think, with your previews, because that preview buffer, unfortunately, is just, it's too large. It's too large for that effect. So what you might do is you might actually understand how many frames per second you're getting, and if you're getting a really low frames per second, you might adapt. Say, you know what, give me a 320 by 200 image, because, you know, nobody wants to go, oh, I'm going to take a photo of that with that filter, and go, and now my kid's over there, and I'll go back over here. And now the dog's over there, and I want to take a photo of that. It just doesn't work. And we've noticed, especially when people playing around with it, that they're, you know, with a lot of the imaging effects, and I give them some demo apps, they go, yeah, it's a great app, but I can't use it because the moment's gone by the time I pull my camera out. Go back. Now, for those of you who didn't see Project Tripod, who was in the keynote? Was everyone in the keynote? Yeah, good. So Project Tripod was built using the Nokia Imaging SDK, and the guys, I was talking to them about, you know, I said you should probably look at using this, and they actually came back and said we had to use it. We had no other way of loading images into memory that were of such a large size without using the Imaging SDK, and the reason being is that the Imaging SDK can open images and manipulate them without actually, and read the data in the image without actually loading the whole image. So when you're thinking about, well, how does Nokia get a 41 megapixel image in memory and on disk, it's because of the Imaging SDK, and then they've gone and made that Imaging SDK open for everybody to use. So you're actually getting access to what's making it possible for us to actually do the things that we do on this device. There's a few more considerations that I need to talk about. One of those is, first one is, make sure that your XAML's right when you start, otherwise you lose 10 minutes. The next thing is the Volevi filter maker. Now, this is an app in the store. It's free from memory, I'm pretty sure it is. It actually, you can go through and combine filters. So you know how I was doing the session stuff there and adding filters and combining them? You do that in this app, and then you can email yourself the code to do that. So it actually allows you to play around and then email yourself the code. It's a great app, Volevi Filter Maker. It's only just been released. It was 2 days ago. There's been so much happening with the Imaging SDK. Every day I got closer to this session, there's always new things to talk about. Make sure you check that the camera support is there for the camera that you want to use. Don't just assume it's there, it'll crash your app. Next thing. There's this other thing for Windows Phone called the camera capture task. This is similar to the original way that phones used to work with the camera, where you say, I want a photo in my app, and it just goes and launches the camera and then returns to your app with that image. Now, it's the same as going to the image picker, effectively, but you're going to the camera. Now, the reason why it's important to note that there are other things that you need to handle in your camera app that we haven't talked about today. When I take a photo, I need to review it. Do I want to review all of them? Do I only want to review the last one? All of those things you will need to build into your app. Now, there are examples and base examples on MSTN and developer.nokia.com that show you how to do all of that. But if all you need is someone to be able to get a photo into your app without any image assistance, you can use the camera capture task. And that's how short and quick and easy it is. The next thing is, that's the camera capture task when you get the result. The other thing is, if you want to reopen an image using the rich media edit, remember that you need that extension, the one that I didn't have. That's the URL that you get passed. So you see this token's a really long token. It's not just a short token, but you don't need to care about what it is. You can just pass it straight into the get image by token from there. And that's it. Do we have any questions around any of that? Go, you. Yep. No. No. When you read up on the documentation, I think it says the only option is default. So it's quite interesting. Yeah, so I haven't seen anything there. I think there's probably a long-term mindset around what that could be. I don't know what that is. I've tried putting other things in there. Sometimes they still work, and other times they don't work at all. But there's no, unless you're experimenting, there's no reason to... There's no other extensions that you can do. They're exactly as I put them there. I don't know why you know, I could, well, I lost the text for the other one. I don't know why. I just have it like embedded on my machine somewhere. But it's the same text no matter, you know, your computer, my computer, same ID, same GUID, that sort of stuff. Any other questions? Anybody? Okay. Well, if you see me around, feel free. I'll be. Oh, did you have your hand up? No. No, not you. Him. But he's looking away, so it wasn't him either. If you see me around, want to ask me any questions, just feel free to come and ping me. I'm going to be here all week. My next session is actually at the end of Friday. Last year I did a game session. Last session on Friday, it was in a room about this size. We had people lying down the floor and in the aisles, end out the door and in the door. It was a fire hazard. It was a lot of fun. And it's the last session on Friday, so I try to make sure we have a bit of fun in it because everyone's brains are generally fried by them, including mine. It's also the day after the party. So feel free to come along to that. Otherwise, have a good ticket. Thanks, guys.